And now, everything you need for Christmas in just half an hour as we bring you the news headlines, Instant Christmas.
Hello, Christmas headlines.
Hello?
Hello, Merry Christmas.
It won't be a very Merry Christmas for me, because I'll be all on my own.
Oh, I'm sorry, why's that?
Hello? Well, my husband's going to be working flat out.
Oh, is he?
Yes, the week before Christmas. Overtime Christmas Eve, and when he gets home Christmas morning, he's going to be so tired he's going to sleep all day.
Oh, you poor old thing. I tell you what, tell me your name and address, and I'll send you something for Christmas.
Mrs. Claus, North Pole, top of the world.
Here with everything you need for Christmas in a handy half-hour pack of the news headlines, starring Roy Hart, June Whitfield, Chris Emmett, with Peter Moss and the headliner.
Thank you, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for Christmas what the BBC does for Wogan. Poor old Tell's got the sack, eh? But he says he's looking forward to a new challenge that will stretch his talent to the limits. He's joining the cast of Thunderbirds, you know. And I see Gerald Ratner's been complaining about those blokes who sell jewellery out of suitcases in the high street. He says the stuff they're selling's better than his. But the year's best news, without a doubt, turned out to be the return of Terry White, didn't it, eh? Da-da. But he's a goer, you know. There's already talk of him taking up an even greater challenge. Yeah, he's going to try and rescue the Maxwell brothers. But there have been one interesting phenomenon this year. People have been buying more section of railway track than they have Christmas trees. You know why? They've got more leaves on them. And did you see that Mandy Smith has turned down the part of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in pantomime? She says she's fed up pulling old men. Meanwhile, how about that bloke who managed to stuff 150 turkeys in 3 hours? The trial continues. One of the dafter stories was about those gardeners who were putting elephant droppings on their rhubarb. Funny, I always put custard on mine. I get all my stuff from Jackie Mason, you know. There we are. But the silliest story of the year must have been the world's first conference on the orgasm. Yes. The women delegates complained it was all over in 2 minutes. But, of course, at Christmas, we try to think of folk who are worse off than we are, don't we? But that's enough of Janet Street Porter's boyfriend. I mean, the people in hospital, and that is why June and me are outside this self-governing trust status St. Nicholas Hospital. We're here to spread a bit of Christmas cheer. Hello. The door's jammed. Give us a hand, June.
Right. Oh, I'll try the bell.
All right, I'm coming. What's all the commotion, then?
Well, we don't seem to be able to open the door.
We're not open yet.
But it's nearly 10. What time do you open?
Let me see now. 1998.
1998?
Or 99 if we have to pay the nurses. We've overspent our budget, you see.
Well, I mean, what would happen if I was really sick?
You are, mate. I've heard your show.
Look, he means if he was really ill.
Yes.
Well, if you ask me, that's where they've been going wrong, isn't they? I mean, how can they expect to make a profit if they fill the place up with sick people? I mean, it's not on, is it?
Have you got any patients?
Because mine's rapidly running out, I promise you.
Well, you see, we're from the news headlines. We've come to spread joy and goodwill amongst the sick and ailing.
Gold, as if they ain't suffered enough.
Let us in, you horrible little geezer.
Look, you promise you're not ill.
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Oh, don't say that, mate. The mortuary's closed and all. Come in, then. Hurry up, you're letting the cold out. That'll be a fiver, please.
What for?
Entering the hospital.
What happened to free medical treatment?
Opening the door is not medical treatment. It is what we call a peripheral service,
see? What?
Peripheral services must be paid for at the point of sale before proceeding further.
And you learnt all that off by heart, did you? What a clever little chap you are, aren't you?
Flattery will get you nowhere, Mush. £5, please.
Oh, very well. Yeah. Now can we go?
Of course.
Which way?
Oh, that's another fiver for the direction.
Oh, there you are.
Would you mind telling me why you call yourself St. Nicholas?
Come on, time's money, you know. I mean, I'm telling you.
Why do you call yourself St. Nicholas's when you don't give anything away?
Well, I could tell you, but you wouldn't like it.
Try me.
Well, it was actually St. Nicholas, as Santa Claus, see, what first set up this hospital for his little helpers.
So?
His little helpers? No, no, June, don't make him go on. I've got a feeling I know what's coming.
Well, I don't. Come on, what are you talking about?
Well, that's how you get the,
Yes?
The National Health Service. I wouldn't like it.
You know, in all the excitement of eating too much, drinking too much, and watching too much telly, it's easy to forget the real meaning of Christmas.
It's a religious festival.
I know, don't I? But would you believe it, there are some people who don't go to church at Christmas. Worse than that, there are some people who only go to church at Christmas. They've never been the same since the hunting of the snark came off, you know.
Oh, hurry up, Raymond. We're going to be late.
All right, Dave, but I still say it's a funny time to start a cabaret.
I keep telling you, it is not a cabaret. It's midnight mass.
Ooh, look, a big door. Big door.
Listen, it started, so don't let the door slam. Sorry.
It's a bit full, isn't it, Nicole?
Look, there's a space over there. Look, we can squeeze in.
Oh, excuse me, Tot.
Ah!
Oh. Sorry, madam. I didn't see you down there. You lost something.
I'm saying my prayers.
Think about, mate. Your prayers have almost been answered, I promise. They're not very friendly here, Nicole, are they? Let's see if I can't break the ice a bit. Well, hey! Happy Christmas, everybody!
Oh, sit down, Raymond.
Good idea. Now, up, heads in the air. Come on, join in.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get a Mexican wave going, isn't I?
Don't. The vicar will chuck us out in a minute.
What vicar? I can't see him.
Look, he's over there.
Oh, yes, hiding behind his organ. There he is.
Look out. He's starting.
Welcome, welcome.
Ah,
how nice to see so many strange faces here tonight. Some stranger than others.
I'll smack him in the gums in a minute, cheeky cow.
Christmas comes but once a year. The same can be said of this congregation. But you know, Christmas isn't just about coming to church on the eve of... Is something wrong, sir?
Yeah, I came for a sing-song, not a lecture.
Quiet, and stop waving your song sheet at me.
Oh, no, look, this must be for the sing-song later. Sing-song. Well, stick it in your pocket, will you?
Oh, we shall now sing hymn number 253.
Oi, what about the words in it? You got no bouncing ball, mate?
No, sir, I haven't. The words are on your song sheet.
Oh, quick, Raymond, get it out then.
Well, I'm trying. Hang on, it's got mixed up with all my other bits of paper here. I think I've found it. Here we go. Yeah, here we are. Don't miss Radnor's Christmas bargains. All our priceless gifts must go.
That's a shopping catalogue.
Place your bets with Honest Joe. Fancy lady, 9 to 2.
Oh, no.
Half a quid on Salisbury Stew.
Oh, that betting slip away.
Milk stouts and 12 pale ales, paid with thanks to call again. Now that can't be wrong. Here's the carol sheet. I've got it. I'm ready.
Amen.
perhaps you'd like to leave, sir, and I'm happy to think I won't see you again until next Christmas.
Well, I think you're wrong there, Vic. We'll be seeing you every Sunday.
You're not thinking of joining the church.
No, but your car park's dead handy for unloading the supermarket trolley, isn't it? These crackers get harder every year, they really
are. Hey, one does love Christmas Day, Philip.
Yes, one does.
One must just check the presents under the tree. What's this very large parcel for Princess Michael?
Oh, something to help over the next book, you see. The photocopier. Now. Where are we?
Yuletide felicitations, revered parents. One's brought some decorations, recycled paper chains.
Oh, Charles, how lovely.
I see you bought one of Harry's paintings, you know. Not bad for a 7-year-old.
Actually, that's one of mine.
Oh.
I call it agreeable thatched bus shelter just downwind of an organic pig farm.
Oh.
It's sort of abstract.
Yes, I think you're abstracting the Michael
Philip,
here.
It's the thought that counts. One shall go and do something with it.
Yes, changing the corgi's litter trays, eh? Right, well. Well, boy, where's the others? Now, the sooner we get eating, the sooner I find the silver drachma in the plum duff here. And
we can... Well, while we're waiting, I suppose one should get in the festive spirit. Put on a paper hat.
That's the idea.
Yes. Oh, this crumpled mauve and pink one should do. I think it'll go.
Oh, dear. Oblige me. Oh, get off, you silly, silly sentimentalist. I thought we parsley and thyme had come there.
Oh, Queen Mar-in-law. Compliments of the season.
Grandma, are you enjoying the festivities?
Oh, yes, dear. Not like them Christmases after the war, you know, with Sir Stifford Craps and his austerity. No, had to get everything on the passion books then. There'd be roast chestnuts for dinner.
What, to go in the turkey?
No, instead of the turkey, dear. And Christmas pudding was a sprazzy with a raisin stuck both sides. Would have gone round, too, if Margaret hadn't found the brandy sauce. And then, at the end of the day, I'd be in the scullery with a glass of British sherry.
You drank British sherry?
Oh, no, dear. It brought the spoons up a treat. Anyway, must go. Got to check out the Boxing Day meetings. See if I can turn me Christmas bonus into the price of a bottle of gin.
Oh, those are the days, eh, Pop?
Yes.
Proper buildings, education for all, green farming.
And a king on the throne, yes. You wait your time, boy. Your mother's not...
Oh, Philip, this is too bad. Hardly any of the relatives have turned up, and one has to go on telly for one's Christmas speech about family values in a moment. What has happened to them?
Just if I know. Wait a minute. Christmas television, that's it. It says... wretched holiday adverts.
What do you mean, Father?
Well, they've all gone valley skiing, haven't they?
Oh, look, Mum. Dad's fallen asleep in front of the telly again.
Oh, so he has. What was he watching?
Just another of those old Christmas musicals.
Oh, no, he's waking up. Whatever is the matter, dear?
Oh, dear. Oh, you have no idea of the horror. It was ghastly, revolting, unbearable.
But you slept through the Christmas musical.
What I've just suffered was the worst ever. Just imagine this. When I turned on the box and prepared for such shocks, Julie Andrews assaulted my hearing. It was wholly unfair, and some nuns in despair were suggesting she try mountaineering. So she went on a hike where she met Dick Van Dyke, but some kids called Von Trapp all pursued her. Then young Oliver sang Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and proceeded to get even cruder. He met Fagin and Gone when some penguins danced on. I'm told it's a children's bestseller. But a nanny who sings did some rather strange things with a gentleman's full-size umbrella. Then I Had a relapse and the wretched one traps. They were riding their bikes while attacking Bill Sykes. Started asking for more in a candy floss store. From his poppinging shrew picked a pocket or two. And the Penguin's routine had been rated obscene by the chorus of nuns who were brandishing guns. So they took to the sky in a car that could fly. And the party, I'm pleased to say, broke up. But the credits unrolled. I went hot and cold. For the next film on view was that Ghostbusters 2. But thank heaven I finally woke up.
Hello, and why not? Much has been made of the soon-to-be-film sequel to that all-time classic, Gone with the Wind. But archivists have recently unearthed a hitherto lost masterpiece, a British sequel produced by Alexander Corduroy in 1940. The story takes place 50 years after the original. Scarlett O'Hara has now married Red Butler, and they live at the newly built Billy Cotton Plantation. But Scarlett still holds a torch for her widowed next-door neighbour, Ashley Wilkes. So sit back and enjoy the lost British sequel, Gone with the Wintergreen.
Rhett? Rhett, what are you doing in that rocking chair when you're supposed to be a working?
I am a working Scarlet, my little wrinkled raccoon. Can't you see what I've got in my hands?
Oh, not again.
Yes, again.
You'll
yes.
lose all sensation in them if you don't stop doing that.
I keep telling you it is my job to look through these high-powered glasses and check the texture and shape of my cotton wool balls.
Do you think you are a flipping teddy bear?
Hush your mouth, Scarlet. My cotton wool balls are what's kept us going these last 40 years. That Timothy White, who owns the drugstore on Boots Hill, can't get enough of them, you know. Besides, there's nothing more relaxing than sitting here on the porch, rocking and rolling the cotton in my sweaty palms while listening to the gentle humming of the bee.
Oh, what a glorious thing to be a healthy grown-up busy. Hello, playmate.
Oh, blige me, no. It's our neighbour, Ashley Wilkes.
The very same.
Oi! Before I sling your hook, I don't want you hanging around my missus.
Oh, charming. Don't worry, playmates. I shall be back.
Yeah. You're jealous of him, aren't you?
Hey?
Yes. Is he because he's become a wealthy peanut butter tycoon with a big spread?
No. No, it's the way you sashay your seductive body in that provocative manner at him. Flaunting your whalebones like a two-bit flophouse floozy. I've told you to pull the blind down when you take a bath.
What's the point? I always have me bath in the backyard.
You scarlet woman.
Oh, don't worry. I'll keep me vest on. There's nothing I likes best on hot, sultry summer evening than having a nice long soak and whiling away all the passing hours.
Pinching all the pollen from the colony flowers. I like a busy little bee. Oh, I say, that's not very sporting, is it? Whatever happened to love thy neighbour?
You should know, Mush, that's what you've been doing with my missus, you horn-swoggling sidewinder.
I thank you.
Warning you, Wilkes, keep away from my woman. No more trying to woo her away from me with all your fancy talk.
Cobblish.
And you can't get fancier than that, Rose, can you?
You've always been envious of him,
Rhett. Envious of him, Rhett?
Yes, you have, ever since he had a couple of acres and you didn't.
I'll give him a couple of acres if he comes over here, mate, I'll tell you.
Oh, shut your cake hole.
Shut your cake hole? That's very demure and coquettish, isn't it, that? Shut your cake hole. Vivian Lee will be turning in her grave, mate.
Well, I haven't got time to hang about all day. I'm very busy.
Busy, if you like, but jousting me. Oh, what a wonderful thing you've
done. Strap up there. Look what you've done with your contrived cue for song, eh? You've set him off again. Well, that's it. I've had enough. I'm leaving you, Scarlet. I'm leaving you any colour you like, actually.
No, don't leave me, Rhett.
I'm going to hitch the mule to my walk frame. And I'm hobbling out of here for good. I hope you and Ashley will be gosh darned happy together.
Aye, thank you.
No, don't go, Rick. Please don't go. I love you. Do you hear me? I love you.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a monkey's.
We present the News Headlines Ecology Conscious Christmas Pantomime, Jack and the Green Stork.
It's panto time. I'm here to set the scene. They call me Fairy Liquid, 'cause I'm green. But not, you know, in terms of pigmentation. I only meant I'm into conservation. So now, to make your Christmas hunky-dory, I will begin our little fairy story. Panto Land was in a pickle. Poisoned water, toxic waste, CO2 and global warming, and no food, no, not a taste.
Hello, boys and girls. My name's Jack. Hello. Oh, strap up. Watford Palace on a wet afternoon. Hello, boys and girls. My name is Jack. I'm raiding Mother's larder for a snack.
Why, Jack, you naughty boy, come out of there. It's no use anyway, the cupboard's bare. There's nothing left, we've eaten our last spud, and that was full of chemicals and crud.
Mummy, shall I go sell the cow wow?
Yes, you'd better go sell the cow wow. We've got a little cat, but there's not much meat on that, so we'll have to sell the cow wow.
Well, Daisy, I'm afraid you'll soon be pies. Moo! Who's this?
It's me, the fairy in disguise. I'm just a local member of the Greens. I'll swap that cow for these organic beans.
I'll take the beans. Goodbye. Hello, Mum, I'm back. I got these for the cow.
You cleghead, Jack. You'll get no supper now, so go to sleep. I'll bung these beans onto the compost heap.
Not lost, so greenies, don't you panic. These beans grow overnight, for they're organic. They'll reach as high as flies the hunting hawk.
Gosh, it's morning. Oh, I've got a stalk. Outside my window. Grew up in the night. Here, shall I climb it? Shall I?
Yes!
All right. Let's all go up the stalk. Let's all go up the stalk.
Here we are, 10 miles above the ground. There's a brand new country all around.
Oh, what a funny place. Just grass and trees. No smog, no pesticides, no CFCs. What's that I see? A castle. Oh, dear me. An ogre. He will eat me for his tea.
Fee-fi-fo, fum. I'll have no Englishman in my tum. I don't eat boys. I'm into peace and yoga. Hey, man, I am a vegetarian ogre. Eat some of this, man, and stay here if you like. We don't have cars, we get around by bike. We don't have nuclear power, we ban that too. And aerosols...
And aerosols to you. I must go home. I think I'd better hurry.
Perhaps it's the bean and lentil curry.
And Jack climbed down the green stalk and went home to rivers full of effluent and foam and acid rain and nitrates. And he'd talk about the ogre's green land up the stalk. Now it's the same the whole world over. Panto Land has all gone green.
No more oil slicks.
No pollution.
It's a transformation.
transformation scene.
They've repaired the ozone layer.
Saved the forest.
Saved the whale.
What was that? You don't believe it?
Well, it was a fairy tale.
Finally, Scott Press predictions for 1992. The government assures the nation that the NHS is safe in their hands.
And then appoints Shaking Stevens as the new health minister.
Chancellor Norman Lamont convinces everyone that the recession is finally over.
And it's quickly replaced by the slump.
Supermarket bosses tell staff their holidays will be staggered in 1992.
They can either have the morning or afternoon off on Christmas Day. And lastly, I'd like to thank all the writers for all the work they've done this year. They deserve a pat on the head, so I've ordered a flying cowagram. Happy Christmas!
That was the News Hudlines Instant Christmas, starring Roy Hudd, Chris Evans and Jill Whitfield, with Peter Moss and the Hudliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. Sketches were by Teddy Hare, Peter Hickey, Mike Cobb, Michael Dunn, Richard Stoneman and Jed Parsons. Wendy Gray, Alexis Panyard, Les Rowley, Teddy Weekly, Sid Wright, Jenny Maynard, Nick R. Thomas and Jerry Godin. With songs by Richard Quick and Jeremy Brown. Additional lines by Dave Dixon, Brian Taylor, Dave Single and Richard Parker and Clyde Witchler.
All of whom wish they were leaving with our producer,
Doug Mack.
Thanks, my day.
This is the News Hudlines office. We're sorry there's no one here to answer your call during the Christmas break, but if you'd like to leave your number, we'll call you as soon as we get back. Please speak after the tone.
Hello?